Welcome to Your Career Cure podcast, where amazing professionals and entrepreneurs share their inspirational stories so you can get a dose of a happy career, happy life. And now, your host, Gail Tolstoy Miller.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Your Career Cure. I am so excited. We have Katrina Roddy, who worked 30 years in corporate insurance before being laid off. It was at that moment when she chose to take her acquired skills in corporate America and created her own career as an author and entrepreneurial coach. Her best-selling author of Steal Your Skills from Corporate will coach you through the mindset it takes from transition from employee status to becoming the CEO of your life as a new entrepreneur. Katrina, thank you so much for being on this episode. I know this is, people are going to die to listen to this episode because this is such a common theme. People are going through this, especially now, and they need help, right? Yeah. So, Katrina, why don't you tell us your story?
Well, thank you for allowing me on your platform. You. This is awesome. And you're so right. There are so many people that are going through this. And so I literally grew up in corporate. You know how people have college friends? I have corporate friends because I started at the age of 18 while in college. As a matter of fact, college was one of my courses that would report to my job, or I'm sorry, my job would report to college, and they would determine if she's dressed appropriately, is she talking the business lingo, all of those things happen because I went to a very strict business college. I had to wear a suit at the age of 18. My mom wasn't too happy about that.
What college did you go to?
I went to Robert Morris, it's called University now, but at the time it was just Robert Morris College here in Chicago, Illinois. And so I went through that, and I, you know, you go through your 20s and everybody's doing the same thing, and you're working late because you were told if you work late and get here early, it's going to make a big difference. And then you get to your 30s and you're like, okay, now family life is starting to come in. You're traveling a lot. That's where work-life balance really starts. You start thinking about it. And then you get into your 40s. If you've worked as long as I was, you get into your 40s and you're like, I'm starting to see layoffs. And what does that mean? And I dodged a bullet because I actually worked in corporate insurance and I worked in a segment called large accounts. So we're bringing in the big money to the companies, right? So we thought, you know, we were untouchable. And then that one day, boom, it hit us. And at that point, I just felt devastated because I spent 30 years in a box.
And in so one company? Was it with?
It was with, I was at my sixth company.
Oh,
over
okay.
A 30-year period. Yeah. But it's the same thing. You know, it's the same people. And so after that is when I had made a conscious decision prior to that, that I wasn't going to go back to corporate. I had made a decision that by a certain age anyway, I would be leaving. It just happened 4 years before I did that.
So let's go back to the moment.
Okay.
That you were laid off, right? What were you feeling at that point?
Unworthy. Mm. So if you could think about this, because I started so young, I was always the youngest one in our groups. Like if I worked in a department and I was a sales executive by the time, you know, I was laid off. So five of us laid off, maybe four of them decided, yippee, we're going to retire. And I was like, I can't retire. So that doesn't mean anything to me. I can't retire. So I just had to figure out, what am I going to do? So naturally, Gail, I thought that my natural progression was maybe to be an independent contractor, dip my foot in the water for entrepreneurship. And that didn't work out because that still felt like someone's hovering over me in the corporate and telling me all of these things. And, you know, I had grown to a level that I had some independence. And now I got people pointing to me saying, do this, do that, do this. You're not really that independent. And then one day I just jumped with 2 feet in and I wrote the book. I had been going to networking events and I would share information with anybody who'd ask. That's when I started learning the skills that I had. I'd teach people how to network, budget, whatever I learned in corporate. I was just spitting it out. And one lady came up to me and said, "You give out too much free information. This is your job." So I took it as that. And I decided to take all of that knowledge and put it in one place. And that's when the book came.
So that was a defining moment for you to write the book, when that woman said that to you.
Yep.
So how long did it take for you to write the book?
So I started in the middle of COVID. That was my pivot point. And it took me to actually write the book. This is going to blow you away. To put the pen and paper and write the book, it took me 24 hours.
What?
But the build up to writing that. So what I learned through that process, and I went through a writing coach to get it done.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, you build up this big, big.
You had the writing coach first, and then you wrote the book.
I had a writing coach, and that's what they walked me along the way. They took me through the journey.
But you did it in 24 hours.
Yes. But prior to writing the book, we had to build an outline. We had to build the design of the book. What do you want it to do? Who is your ideal reader? What problem are you solving? All of those things led up to me saying, she's like, okay, now it's time to write your book. Find out, let's work on your cadence. What's your writing cadence? What's like all of that stuff is what I learned. And so it literally took me over a weekend, 3 days. So I worked on it for 8 hours on a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
And how many pages is it?
It is roughly, I don't know the pages. I have about 30,000 words. So that's about,
There's a formula for how many words, how it translates to pages.
Yeah. I don't have the pages off my head, but I know it's roughly 30,000 words.
Okay. And then you had to get it edited, right?
So this was part of my whole process. She did all of these things for me. So when I went with a writing company, they did all of these things for me.
Okay.
So it had to be edited. It had to be, I got the manuscript done. I got all of that stuff done. And then it actually published last year on my birthday, which is in June.
Oh, what a great gift. Congratulations.
I know. Thank you.
So how long did it take you from the minute you hired the coach to when you were done? And ready to publish?
90 days.
Wow. You know how long it took me to do my book? 4 years.
And most it does.
I have a good excuse, I think. No, I do. I had cancer while writing my book. So, I think I had a pretty good excuse.
Yeah, you had a pretty good excuse.
But no, I think that's amazing, because when you write the book, at least me, I was getting crazy. Like, I had to rewrite. Got stuck. Yeah. And I have so much admiration for you, because you just got it out. You're like, you know what? Boom. It was analysis paralysis, perfection. Yes. And,
it was the buildup to it. So once you learned who your ideal reader was, and then once you learned what problem you're solving for them, and because my book is a self-help book, I had to come up with what steps am I helping them with. So once you just start filling in those blanks, it's easy to write it in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because you're just filling in what you started, at the beginning. You're just filling in the blanks for things. And that's what she taught us.
And are you a natural good writer, or do you find?
I didn't know I was.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a pretty good cadence and I didn't know. And I think it's just because, and a lot of it too, Gail, was these are things that I know. So I felt very comfortable in my writing them, because I'd been doing them for so long. So when I say steal your skills, I really mean that, So that's what I think helped me along the way as well.
So what's the core message?
The core message is, no matter what you do, you have gained skills over time, right? You've gained these skills, and a lot of times people don't know how to apply them. So if I were to find out what my ideal reader, my ideal client, any of those, my customer avatar, the problem that I'm solving for them is helping them take those skills and transition them into their own career as an entrepreneur. What I learned when I first started getting coaching clients was that, we can help pull their skills, because I'm talking about these are things that they can actually see that they've been doing. But what they did not know, and that I pointed out to them, was that they had a fear. They had the fear of transitioning into something that was unknown. I had the same fear. And so I started thinking through that and I created a company called The Corporate Breakup. It's coaching. It's just me coaching. But The Corporate Breakup really talks to the emotions that people go through when they leave a job, whether they leave a job or the job lets them go. There's some anxiety or separation anxiety you get. Maybe you had all your friends there. Maybe you, you know, you didn't really want to go. You're scared to make that transition. But I know for sure that there's anxiety. There is sleep disturbances. There's anger. There's, you know, there people are hold on to their titles most of the time. And so we just need to get past that. And so that's what the corporate breakup is. You take, these are the same emotions that people have in a relationship. And you get your girlfriends and they come over with wine and they're like, you know, you'll get through this relationship. Work on yourself first. They tell you all of these things, right? When you break up from corporate, they're like, that girl needs to find another job.
Right. It's very transactional.
It's very transactional. Yeah. And so I just want people to know they have to heal from both before they can move on. Yeah.
So how do you differentiate, like you're coaching someone, how do you know if they're right to go back into corporate America or if they should go out on their own?
That's their choice. So for me, a lot of people that I'm coaching, maybe they've gone through three or four layoffs. You know, after that, I had another layoff that was horrible. And you just, you don't know. And once you're tired of going through that and you really feel that you have the spirit that can, you can create some your own job, then that's what you go towards. So it's not my decision. It's more of theirs. And I listen for it. I did have, let me just back up a minute. I did have a client recently want to sign up with me for coaching and I can tell she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. And I can tell this because she was still all over the place in her mind. Like her mind wasn't settled yet. She didn't accept the fact that she was leaving corporate. So this could be a situation where she gets another job until she figures out that I'm done.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you settle your mind? Like, is there two strategies for that?
Yeah. So I came up with the acronym, well, MOVES, I use it. It's called Making Moves. And MOVES is an acronym for a mindset reset. And a lot of that has to do with working on yourself to feel good. So that's meditation. And because it connects you with yourself. It could be yoga breathing, the breathing techniques that come with yoga, because it connects you back to yourself. Mm-hmm. There's exercise. Exercise will connect you back to yourself. All of these things that connect you and get you to focus back on you helps you with your mindset and helps you reset it to rethink some things. And then we talk about the O in MOVES, which is be open to a new title. Stop being caught up in, I was SVP, I was VP, I was whatever your title was. Whatever it was, stop thinking about that and own your own title as the CEO of your life. Like nothing is higher than that. And I just want people to understand, be open to changing that because now you can identify. The V is value your relationships. Along the way, you've created some great relationships. Let me help you build that personal board of directors, that five people that could help support you on your new journey. The E is evaluate your money situation because it's going to change as an entrepreneur. It is going to change. And what you have to realize is that your money situation is deeply rooted. I came up from humble beginnings. My parents came up from humble beginnings. Their parents came up from humble beginnings. So it's secular. And once you realize where you're getting, you know, what you get your relationship for money from, you won't be able to change it until you dig deep and figure out why you do what you do with your money. And then the S part is, it should have been the beginning of the word, but the word starts with M, but it's share your story. Be vulnerable. Share your story. I am under the belief that all of us are put in similar situations, but what makes us different is how we handle it. So when you share your story, someone else is listening for that. Someone else is looking to see how you solve the problem that they may have. And they're looking to move forward with that. So if you don't share, and that's what I find too, and a lot of people who leave corporate, they don't share. It's hard for them to be vulnerable. There's embarrassment that comes with it. Like I said, they figure out, I got to find a job. I don't want people to know that I'm struggling or whatever. But you have to share that story because people are listening for it and people are looking for advice to move on. Whether it's direct or indirect, they're looking for something. Yeah.
It's also very true. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, you've got to tell everyone, like send it out because, you know, there's so many jobs, 80% of the jobs are not advertised. And if you don't let people know, then you're losing out on so many opportunities and it's their ego. Oh, I can't let anybody know because you know what it is? You think you're a failure. How are they going to view me? Like we're so worried about what other people are thinking. Is that more important than putting food on the table and getting a job and building your career? I don't get it. But, you know, it's a psychological, it's definitely an ego thing. And just know that you're not alone. Like millions of people.
You're not alone.
The most successful people in the world. Look what happened to Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of his own company, for God's sake. You can't get worse than that. Look what happened. He built himself up again.
One of my favorite quotes from him is, and I'm going to butcher it, I'm sure, but you can never connect the dots looking forward.
Only back.
So when you look back and you say, oh, that's why that happened. Like that was a blessing for me to get kicked out of corporate because now I've figured out I can shine. Now I don't have to worry. I can be as creative as I can be and not have to worry about. It was my son that, so one of the, when I go through the five mentors, one of the mentors I talk about is having a reverse mentor. And that person is someone that you're mentoring, but you're actually learning from them in reverse. So I think of my son when I say that. He's an art person. He's 19 at this moment and he's very artistic and he does a lot of things. So I didn't even let him know that I was writing a book. So it was probably a week before it published. And I'm like, hey, my book publishes next week. And he's like, wait, what? So he starts to think about it. And what he says to me that sticks to this day is, you know what? I'm really proud of you because I always want you to think above the collar, which is white collar, blue collar, and use your creative side. And this is what happens when you use your creative side. You start having books, you start, you know, being yourself. So I think that was very profound of him. And I'm like, oh, I probably should be mentoring from you.
That's awesome. Aw, that's so nice that your son said that to you. It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because even the language we use, so many people say, I want a permanent job. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. And when you realize that a permanent job is an illusion, the risk that you're not taking is because of that illusion.
Yeah.
And it's just so short-sighted.
It's, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those things where, okay, so I was reading studies along the way, and I read a study from the APA, which is the American Psychology Association. And it was very eye-opening for me because when you are leaving a job, it mentioned all of those things, anger, anxiety, sleep disturbances, all of those things that happen to a person leaving. But what was interesting to me is that those things are still going on with the person that has to stay as well. Because guess what? If I'm leaving, maybe they have to do my job and they're overworked now. Not only that, but now they're waiting to see when their turn is. So they're just moving, going through the motions and not, you know, feeling this anxiety. If I call my friends now who are in corporate, that's all they're talking about is, you know, when I get out of here, this is what I'm going to do or whatever. You know, they have plans. I had plans for when I was ready to leave, but the job doesn't have plans. They tell you, we're getting rid of you today or whatever their plans is because we have no control over that. Whatever their bottom line is, whatever they want to do, that's what they do. So why should you be limited? But why should you limit yourself to what they're going to do? So, you know, if you're ready to make the move, you do that. It's not for everybody. It is not for everybody. But if you feel that it is for you, then do it.
Absolutely.
Do it. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. So how do you think COVID has changed the landscape of everything?
Oh, gosh. First of all, I think it's put more people in touch with the world. And I think of this because I go to these networking events, right? And some of them are international, which I never would have gotten to or been able to be in touch with a lot of those individuals. And people are just doing things in different areas that they would not have done before. So I think it's changing the landscape, meaning that, first of all, technology is king. So you better get used to it. And I tell a lot of people this too, who say, oh, I don't really know how to do that or use Zoom. I'll say to them and anybody in your audience, technology's not following you. So you better follow technology.
That's so true.
But I think that's the one thing that I see that's changed tremendously is the landscape of people being able to interact with people all over instead of just one particular area.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what was your worst career moment? Oh,
my worst career moment was a company that I went to work for and they went under. And I had no clue. That was my third layoff. And they went under and it was, again, no fault of mine. Just they made some bad decisions. And because I'd seen a lot of this and I studied companies over the years because of the corporate, when I worked in corporate insurance, and I could see it coming and they were just so proud. They went from having like 35 employees to 500 in a year.
Oh.
And so I questioned, they were cheering, they were happy. And these are signs that I looked for when I wrote corporate insurance. And so I said to them, no one's scared about that. Like, you don't have the infrastructure to hold. No, we're good. I was number 34. I was number 100. And then pretty soon it was like, there's no company.
Wow. So
they didn't have the infrastructure to kind of withhold that. So
that's crazy. So why was that particular one your worst career moment? Because you were laid off six times.
No, three times.
Three times.
That was the third time.
Oh, yeah. That was the third. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was okay. The third.
So why was that one in particular the worst one? Why was that the worst?
Because that made me realize that you put so much hope into these companies and you just don't know what'll happen because you're not there making decisions. You're not there. And it was just one of those things where I'm like, not again. Here we go again. And that's when, you know, both feet in, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to teach people to do some of the things so that they won't have to make the same mistakes that I made along their journey. So I created in my book, there are 8 steps that I feel that a person can go through from beginning to end to help them have a tool guide for if they need it later on in life or if they need, you know, to just break away from corporate and become an entrepreneur. You can follow these 8 steps. They're proven. I did them. And then I had coaching clients along the way that went through.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. People really need something like that to get through.
Just to start.
And I think more and more people are becoming entrepreneurs because they want the freedom.
Yeah.
Right. It's a different kind of freedom, but
it is.
Yeah. Especially now with COVID and people getting laid off and having to shift and make adjustments.
The pivot of the world happened during COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you think, it sounds to me you were a very loyal employee. You put your all into it.
Yep.
Do you think, you know, working long hours, all this stuff, do you think, what's your view on that? Do you think employees should just kind of take a step back and say, I'm not going to be so darn loyal because they can get rid of me at a drop of the hat? Or are you like, you know what? No, you put your all into it.
Yeah.
You can't control what they're going to do, but at least if you put your all into it, you've got less of a chance to leave. So what is your thought process on that?
Gail, I think it depends on the era you grew up in. So it's, for me, it's evolution of time, right? So my parents worked in blue collar. So growing up, they worked in blue collar and, I wanted to go to college. There's 6 of us. I'm 1 of 6.
Oh.
I'm number 5 of 6. And so I wanted to go to college. And they were like, nope, you go out, you get a job, you can find a spouse, and you guys live happily ever after. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I am going to work in corporate. And they didn't understand that. And so going to work in corporate at that time, I come from a generation where that's what you did. You were very loyal to your company because the outlook of that meant I'm going to get a good retirement package. I'm going to, you know, gain all the skills and knowledge of doing all of these things. And so that's what I think was bred in me being a loyal employee because that's what my era was. And that's what the people around me did. Now, the new era of kids or people who came, no, that's not what they're thinking. If you want to learn how to escape the 9 to 5, you talk to a Gen Z because they've figured it out. We may be there working for them one day. But I don't think, you know, to answer your question, I don't necessarily think people should just say, I'm not putting in the long hour. I'm not doing, you have to do what you feel that will help you succeed. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't make you feel good to do that, if you're doing stuff just because you're going through the motion, then maybe that's not for you.
Right.
And maybe, you know, it's just going to cause you more headache in the long run. But I get it. Some people think, you know, they have to do these things because of how they were. That was my upbringing. My upbringing taught me to be loyal to the company right. and work for a long time.
So were you the only one in your family that went to college?
Yep.
So why you? Like, what was there a defining moment? What made you want to break out from that and go to college?
My peer group.
So
Everybody okay. that was around me, all my friends, all my good friends, all of us were going to school. My oldest brother, all of them were maybe going to the service at the time. So I wanted to break away and I said I wanted to go to college. At the same time, my dad had a terrible motorcycle accident. So I knew they couldn't afford for me to go to school. So me being a very resourceful person, even at that age, didn't know what that was, but I know I wanted to keep going. I looked for a school because I heard the schools come in and they talked about how you can, one school in particular talked about how corporations will help you pay for college. And I was like, I've always been curious. How does that work? And so that's the school I ended up going to. So I didn't have any college debt because I worked for corporations that helped me with tuition reimbursement to go through that. And that's probably part of my loyalty as well. Because right. I know that I worked in a company, they helped pay for school. You just kept going. So I did that because of my peer group. All of me and my friends, we had plans of what we were going to do. My best friend to this day, we've been best friends since kindergarten. And she was like, I'm going to be a nurse. And I was always going to be in business. So I was going to run her daycare all day with her helping little kids. It didn't turn out like that, Gail.
Is she a nurse?
She is a nurse.
Oh, okay, good.
She's been a nurse for 20 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and I've been in business the whole time. We just never combined.
You know, that's a prime example of you become the people that you're the average of the five people you hang out with.
Yes.
Right? So, right? So your environment, the people, your friends that you went to school with had a huge impact.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And if you had a different set of friends, you might have ended up in a different place.
Yeah. And that's when I say a lot of us are given the same situations. It's how we handle them that make us different. And so I'm still friends with her. I'm still friends with probably I can name five people that I started kindergarten with that we talk to this day. And we're all doing, you know, we all had dreams to do something. My sister, this is interesting. My sister keeps a treasure box of like all of our stuff. So whenever you want to keep something for, you know, life, we send it to her so she can put it in there. So she was reading I had this book that goes from kindergarten to 12th grade. And it shows how my writing changed. It shows what I wanted to be when I grow up, how, you know, how my thought process changed, all of those things. So she calls me one day and she's like, did you know you wanted to be a baseball player?
Oh, that's funny.
And I said, well, where'd you find that? She's like, oh, like in first grade, you wanted to be a baseball player. And underneath you wrote baseball player or teacher. And you said you wanted to be the first at doing something. And that was your thing. And I'm like, well, I guess I kind of manifested that. Because I was the first to go to college. I wasn't a baseball player. I got off of that track. But those are some of the things. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in your words will manifest. You just have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So the first step. So what does someone do if they have no money? Do you think? Yeah. Like if they want to become an entrepreneur, they want to open up a business. What do you think? Like they're stuck, like they have no money to invest.
Yeah.
What suggestion would you give them?
I suggest that they don't become a full-time entrepreneur. I suggest they get a side hustle in the beginning because I do look for individuals, my customer base, my ideal client is someone who's coming out of corporate who has the resources and also the time to spend, you know, to say that this is how much it takes to. And we don't even know the cost that it takes to be an entrepreneur, but they do have some type of savings that will get them there. Right. If someone who's coming out directly and they want to be an entrepreneur, I would say get it as a side hustle. Yeah. Or, you know, work on it and then have another job, because right. it's going to be critical to you building. Yep.
And I think a lot of people are hesitant to spend money on investing in themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's absolutely. So like they don't have a problem going out and buying, you know, going to the mall and spending a couple grand on a pocketbook. But yet when it comes to themselves and investing in themselves, they're reluctant to do it.
Gail, that's another podcast that takes another hour. But you're right. I mean, and I'm not even going to lie. I was hesitant because I don't know. You didn't know what to do. You know, coming from corporate, the one thing I can say is that you almost have to be given direction, because that's all you've learned somewhere else is direction. Someone's given you the direction to do this, this, and this. When you become an entrepreneur, you're waiting for that direction and you don't get it. You realize that the people in your environment can help you, but you have to reach out to help, and you need to know what to ask for when you get them, you know, to even ask for help. I didn't know that. So I'm just, you know, going along, and then I'd see somebody else do something else, and I would see people spend all of this money like in marketing. I'm like, is that what we got to do? I don't know if we have to do that.
Right.
I don't know if you really have. And then you realize, well, you do have to do that. That's an investment in yourself. Right. So it was a lot of those things, and you learn them along the way, but you don't know that immediately, especially if you're coming from corporate.
Right. It's a mindset shift that you have to.
Mindset.
But it's also being resourceful too. I think there's a balance of being resourceful. Yeah. So what was the most challenging part for you to transition from employee to entrepreneur?
It was the mindset. Becoming, having an entrepreneur mind. And it was a lot of those things I just described to you. What I didn't know, I didn't know. So I just thought, you know, to be an entrepreneur means you just go out and they're like, well, you got to be on social media these days. And I'm like, no, you don't. I don't really care to be on there. They're like, well, you're not going anywhere fast.
Yeah, you're a crap out of luck on that one.
Yeah, because you didn't have to do that in corporate. You didn't have to blast on social media. You didn't have to. No. You didn't have to do any of that. So I just thought, yeah, people will find me, and you know, if I talk about it enough. And no, that was it. So that was a challenge for me to start putting myself out there and becoming vulnerable. Because I didn't want to. I just thought, you know, I can go ahead and do what I was doing. So that's why I teach that now. I'm like, you know, make sure you share your story. Be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there for people to find you. And still to this day, I struggle with that. How many posts do I have to make? How much time do I have to put out there? But I'm getting used to it. I do a lot of interviews. That was a struggle for me. The other struggle was realizing that when you've been in corporate, you're in your office. You know your job and you do your job very well. You don't know the person's job who sits next to you, or the one who sits in front of you or down the hall from you. You don't know their job. But when you become an entrepreneur, you're doing all of that, all of their jobs.
Right.
And that's when, you know, light bulbs went off. I got to do the admin. I got to do all of that stuff goes off and you're like, I got to do it all. So that some of the challenges I've had is just learning. By nature, I always wanted to learn. So curiosity has been on my side, because I will research and I will find and I will become very resourceful. And those are the things that I had. Some of the skills that I actually brought over from corporate is relationship building. So I have a resource vault, or, you know, referral base of people who could actually help guide me through this. And I continue to gain more as I move through my entrepreneurship.
Yeah. That's great. That's good. Because not everybody's good. That's a lot of people are not good at that. And that's like a huge step to be good at that, because that's how you get clients.
Yeah.
So do you think everyone could be an entrepreneur?
No.
I mean, I know you mentioned that you could learn it, right? So if you can learn it, then who do you think who should not become an entrepreneur?
If you're not ready and your mindset is not ready to be on your own. So there are certain characteristics of an entrepreneur. If you are creative, you know, in your mind and your process, if you wanted to take on leadership roles, if you are resourceful, like these are things I think you can do to be an entrepreneur. If you're one that will constantly wait for direction and You don't really want to take control. Because I said that for many years working in corporate. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And then you start to think about it and you're like, huh, so I'm letting them control it instead of me controlling my destiny. I think that was the turning point for me. I want the control back after being let go those many times. But for people, if you want to be an entrepreneur, what I will say is that you try it. I mean, what's going to hurt if you don't want to do it? And this is something that, you know, maybe you feel like you don't have the skills for and you're OK with working at a company, then work there. Like, this is not a call for you, for everybody who works in corporate to take a step back. Right. This is a call for those who have an entrepreneur spirit to say, OK, I want to go out and on a leap of faith and take that chance.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Well, now we are at the final round.
What is it?
It's the $50 million career cure round. I ask all my guests. It's fun. Just disclaimer, you will not win $50 million.
Oh, well, that's the only reason I came on the show, Gail.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, just for fun. Okay. So first question, my headset. Okay. First question is, what would be the one cure you would provide a career or entrepreneur or professional to cure their mistakes? What would be the one cure?
One cure to cure their mistakes that I would provide to them?
Mm-hmm. Or they should do.
They should do.
Yeah.
My cure is, I was going to answer world peace to everything. No, I would, the one cure that they would, for them to have, I don't know. Let's say, oh, okay, I got one. I would cure the myths that are surrounding diversity in corporate. I feel like there are some myths that are there. You know, one being, if we hire people that are diverse, if we have a diverse and working environment, then we are diverse enough. But you can't have one without the other. You have to have diverse and inclusion. And I'm a huge proponent of that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, good. Don't hire me as a Black woman if you don't want to include me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's just checking the, you don't want them just checking the box. It's
don't
not about that.
Just check the box. It's not that. And I think that's where a lot of companies miss.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Next question. How would you cure, what would be the one cure you would provide to improve corporate America?
The one cure is, it becomes so political at times and it drives me crazy. The one cure to cure corporate America.
To improve corporate America.
Yeah, it's still around it's still around diversity for me.
Okay.
Huge. Yeah.
Huge. All right, good. Third question. Yeah. What would be the one cure you would provide a career or entrepreneur professional to go from stuck to unstuck?
Ooh.
That'll be a different answer.
To be curious, to expand your curiosity, because our curiosity starts to shrink when we think we know it all and we're not looking to expand it to learn more. So I would think use curiosity to cure your, just to go from corporate to entrepreneur.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything you would like to promote at this point to the guests? Well, I mean, the audience, not the guests, the audience.
Just go to my website. My website is www.thecorporatebreakup.com. And you'll get information there about any workshops I'm having. I load everything into my website. So.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I'm going to put that in the notes. So we'll have everything. So, Katrina, thank you so much. You're an amazing guest.
Thank you, Gail, for having me. I appreciate this.
Oh, my pleasure. And folks, don't forget, happy career, happy life.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget, happy career, happy life.